Little Steven's Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
Nigeria and Boko Haram reach ceasefire and agree to free schoolgirls. President Obama battles political fallout from Ebola. I'm Bill Michaels reporting from Washington. Nigeria has reached a ceasefire agreement with the Islamic militant group Boko Haram, which has agreed to free more than 200 schoolgirls who were kidnapped in April. Nigeria's highest-ranking military official announced the ceasefire agreement Friday. Nigerian presidential aide Hassan Tukur.
I will say they have announced a unilateral ceasefire. Nigerian government has responded accordingly. And we are now monitoring to see if the ceasefire is holding, and I hope it will hold.
Boko Haram has terrorized Nigeria for the last 5 years as it tries to turn northern Nigeria into a conservative Islamic state. Fears of Ebola have become a factor as Americans prepare to go to the polls next month in congressional elections that could see Democrats losing control of the Senate. In his remarks, U.S. President Barack Obama sought to contain the political damage that could result from Americans' anxiety over Ebola.
It's important for all of us to keep perspective in terms of how we handle this. We are taking this very seriously at the highest levels, starting with me.
President Obama's approval ratings have already suffered. Polls last month showed many Americans not happy with his handling of foreign policy issues, including the threat posed by Islamic State militants in Iraq and Syria. Political analysts say the Ebola issue could make Democrats vulnerable going into next month's elections. Analysts say Mr. Obama and his party are hoping the number of cases in the U.S. do not rise before the elections. This is VOA News. Kurdish forces are now in their second month defending the northern Syrian border city of Kobani, aided by airstrikes from the U.S. coalition. The commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East says the fight for Kobani is providing the coalition with opportunities to destroy Islamic State militants and keep them out of Iraq. General Lloyd Austin, the head of U.S. Central Command forces waging war against Islamic State extremists, says coalition airstrikes around Kobani are not a diversion from U.S. goals.
My goal is to defeat and ultimately destroy ISIL. And if he continues to present us with major targets, as he has done in the Kobani area, then clearly we'll service those targets, and we've done so very, very effectively here of late.
He also affirmed that actions around the Syrian town are carried out to shape the conditions in Iraq, which he says remains the coalition's main focus. Russian and European leaders described difficult talks in Milan aimed to end the crisis in Ukraine, which has sunk relations between the two sides to the lowest level in years. Lisa Bryan has our story from Paris.
The talks among Russian, EU, and Ukrainian leaders overshadowed a key summit between the European Union and Asia. Russian and European leaders said there had been some advances, although German Chancellor Angela Merkel said she saw no breakthrough so far, and the Kremlin spokesman described them as full of misunderstandings and disagreements. British Prime Minister David Cameron said what counts now is results.
Getting Russian troops out of Ukraine, getting heavy weapons out of Ukraine, and respecting all the agreements.
If that doesn't happen, Cameron said, the European Union must maintain sanctions and pressure on Moscow. Lisa Bryant, Paris.
Baghdad residents are assessing the damage to Iraq's capital city after a wave of car bombs. The blasts hit the city late Friday, killing at least 24 people. One of the attacks took place near a cafe in the Shiite neighborhood of Baladayat. No one has claimed responsibility for the attacks. Authorities in Hong Kong say three police officers were injured as police tried to control thousands of protesters coming back to an area they were cleared from earlier in the day during a pre-dawn raid. Friday evening, Hong Kong law enforcement used pepper spray and batons on throngs of protesters who were attempting to reclaim areas in the Mong Kok district. The U.S. Air Force brought another robotic space plane back to Earth Friday after a nearly two-year flight that is covered in mystery. The top-secret vehicle called X-37B landed at Vandenberg Air Force Base in Southern California. From Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, and this is VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
realists dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
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 Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. That you have, cause there's magic in my eyes.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Hey, yeah. If you think that I don't know about the little tricks you play, never see you when deliberately put me in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile because all the while
I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles.
Of my trust in you when I was so far away. I saw you holding lots of other guys, and now you've got the nerve to say that you still want me. Well, that says maybe, but you gotta stand trial because all the while
I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles.
A surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
The Eiffel Tower in the toy hall might see us.
Around on Horseback. And that's how creator Michael Garrison sold it to CBS, and it didn't take much selling. By 1964, James Bond's third movie, Goldfinger, would blow everybody's mind. It would deservedly be one of the coolest, biggest movies of the 60s, and inspire a whole bunch of other movies, like Our Man Flint, Last of the Secret Agents, and and a whole bunch more of TV shows, like The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The Avengers, Get Smart, Mission Impossible, Secret Agent Man, and maybe most of all, the subject of this show, Wild Wild West. It was Wild Wild West that inherited a lot of the James Bondian sort of elements, such as bigger than life and occasionally smaller than life villains. It had the gadgets. The ejector seat was in the stagecoach instead of the Aston Martin. And it had the writers with the imaginations. Some fellas Ian Fleming would have been proud to know. Had a bit of a formula. One arch nemesis per show. One bizarre sci-fi element. And one hot babe. Not a bad combination. It was set in the 1870s and would feature James T. West, a fearless, womanizing tough guy, and partner Artemis Gordon, the clever gizmo inventor and master of disguise, as Secret Service agents working for Ulysses S. Grant, who traveled the country on a cool private train named the Wanderer, keeping the United States safe from all manner of bizarre villainy. It is not coincidental that Michael Garrison had secured the rights to Ian Fleming's first Bond book, Casino Royale, after reading it and digging it in 1956. But he sold the rights before the movies took off in 1961 with Dr. No. So after all the other Bond-like series, he wanted to try a different angle, and he and the writer of the first script, Gilbert Ralston, would create an interesting and completely original combination of a Western, a spy story, and science fiction. It was Ralston who suggested the hero should have a partner to share his adventures, and in the end, that made all the difference. It was an excellent balance of swashbuckle and cerebral, toughness and wit, cold stoicism, and the friendly openness of the man in disguise. And the most important part, unlike the recent remake movie, was that these two guys were genuinely good friends, making them, along with Robert Culp and Bill Cosby in I Spy, Robert Vaughn and David McCollum in Man from U.N.C.L.E., and Patrick McNee and Diana Rigg in The Avengers, one of the truly great television partnerships in history.
natural disaster. For the race of my head and my face is moving much faster. Is it strange I should change? I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Is it strange I should change? I don't know. Why don't you ask her? Is it strange I should change? I don't know.
It's a little song you can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Make your own words up if you want to. Any old words that you think will do. Yellow, blue, what will I do? Maybe I'll just sit here thinking.
Black, white,
stop the fight. Cause one of these colors never bother you. Here's a little dance you can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Make your own steps up if you want to. Any old steps that you think will do, yeah. Welcome. Left, right,
don't get uptight.
Keep in line and you'll be alright.
Clap hands, move around.
And make sure no one puts you down. Here's a little world you can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Make your own life up if you want to. Any old life that you will do. Worse off than you are.
Help me set them free.
Just be what you want to be. Here's a little song you can all join in with. It's very simple and I hope it's new. Make your own words up if you want to. Any old words that you think will do.
Jackson got word it was urgent to get this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be he wanted it just to keep warm in a campfire.
He was onto something he felt could spell big trouble for this country.
Did he say what kind of trouble?
No, never got around to it.
Now, how could works of art and lobster on ice be a threat to the United States?
Just booked a flight. Get back to where I once belonged. I'm on the way. sound crazy, but I understand. And when the time is right, no need for talking, baby, I'm your man. I wanna tell you just how I feel, but the words don't come easy. You think it's funny, but I know it's real. Baby, baby, please don't tease me, cause I'm lost in translation. She doesn't understand a word you say. I'm lost in translation.
Whitney?
Please, thank you.
Well, one would think we were back in Washington.
A pleasant thought.
Yes. The two of us back in Washington together. That would please you, wouldn't it, Mr. West, isn't it?
James West.
You're a clever and brave man, Mr. West, and I appreciate that.
And you're going to find it a shame to have to kill me, correct?
On the contrary, I expect to find it a pleasure.
And you're with little Steven in the Underground Garage. Will Smith played me? No, you're kidding.
I'm a wanderer.
Started our tribute to the Wild Wild West with I Can See for Miles, arguably the Who's greatest moment. It's That or My Generation, take your pick. Would be the only single from their third album, The Who Sell Out, 1967, written by Pete Townsend and produced by manager Kit Lambert. It would be the first time America took notice of the band, who wouldn't break through until their next record, Tommy. Buffalo Springfield started our first set. Mr. Soul, from their classic second album, Buffalo Springfield Again, written by Neil Young, the managers and producers finally allowing him to sing on the second album. Good idea, boys. You can all join in from Traffic's second classic album, self-titled. They had two of the greatest lead singers ever, Dave Mason on that one, who also wrote it, and of course Stevie Winwood, Jimmy Miller producing. He would go straight from that to Jumpin' Jack Flash for the Stones. Lost in Translation, Kurt Baker and his party, Animals. Go get this album, one of the great albums of the year. Brand new B-sides, here from KurtBakerMusic.com. Pearl Jam, Supersonic, Backspacer is their ninth studio album. Geez, time flies, huh? I remember when they were just a little grain of sand in the oyster. Yeah, I'm losing it today. You're right. Stone Gossard wrote that. And it's cool. And it's produced by Brendan O'Brien and The Wanderer. That's right. That's the name of the train in Wild Wild West. They named it after Dion's song. Tell me I'm wrong. We're celebrating Wild Wild West the whole show. Come on back and we'll meet the stars.
There are so many mating calls in the jungle. One cannot keep up with all of them.
That mating call sounds a little rusty.
Our mission statement.
Play the world's best variety.
VOA Music Mix.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage celebration of the Wild Wild West, one of the very cool TV shows of the 60s. Robert Conrad has starred with future girl from Uncle, Stephanie Powers, in Palm Spring Weekend and did four seasons of Hawaiian Eye as Private Dick Tom LaPaca. He was a former Marine and stuntman and was as tough as the characters he usually played, in spite of, or maybe because of, being a bit shorter than he appeared on screen, somewhere around 5'6", 5'7". But he would insist on doing most of the stunts in the show, and if you get the box set, which just came out, you will see some pretty wild stunts. He only injured himself one time in four seasons, falling 12 feet from a chandelier onto a concrete floor. Ended that season a bit prematurely. Yeah, you know, not bad. Ross Martin had been in Destination Moon and played a very scary guy in Experiment in Terror, and would get popular as another sidekick character in Mr. Lucky for CBS, which is why they thought of him for the role and the only person they actually approached for the role. He would be not only a spy and the inventor of all the cool gizmos that James West would use, but also was a master of disguise. And unlike the way Martin Landau and later Leonard Nimoy would use the so-called life masks for disguises on Mission Impossible, Ross Martin would actually create over 100 characters during the run of the show and expertly use dozens of dialects. He really never got the recognition he deserved. His Lon Chaney-like characterizations would add a wonderful dimension to the mix of genres and be the link between the Ian Fleming elements and the Jules Verne aspects of the show. If casting is everything, they got this one right from the jump.
This was the second show broadcast, but the ninth show we filmed. In between, we changed producers a couple of times. And they finally brought in Freddy Freiberger, who laid down some ground rules for the series. He wanted every episode to have a gorgeous woman, a strong adversary, and something very bizarre. In this one, there's a fire-breathing armored train, a plot to take over Mexico, and a bed fitted with heavy spikes rigged to fall on its victim, me. Well, the director thought the stunt was too dangerous for me to do. But after putting him through a little persuasive negotiation, actually some people might call it an argument, I won out, and I did the stunt.
See what you have. Nothing but Of course you're lost.
Not at all.
And I didn't hear you knock, so that settles the gentleman question.
And the door was open, so that settles the shy damsel question.
Who are you?
James West.
Faith Cadwallader.
Charmed.
Mary?
Only shut up a few times.
What are you doing here?
I was about to take a bath. What are you doing here?
I'm getting ready for my bath.
Aren't you afraid of earthquakes?
Oh, there are 2 whole hours left. May I have my gun?
Certainly.
Sit down, Mr. West.
That set with the Electric Flag, Groovin' Is Easy, written and sung by Nick Ravenites. Of course, the great Mike Bloomfield on guitar. A Long Time Coming was technically their second album after they had done the soundtrack for The Trip, although they used a different name for that. They were called like the American Music Band or something different. And very cool music it was for that very groovy movie.
Rollin' Tumblin' was Gaslight Anthem. Not the Muddy Waters version, but their own from their new 5th album, Get Hurt. Mike Crossy producing. Get it from thegaslightanthem.com.
Baby a Rich Man, B-side from the Beatles' All You Need Is Love. It's on the Magical Mystery Tour soundtrack, and that is a clavioline that John Lennon found in the closet at EMI. The same fantastic instrument Joe Meek would use on Telstar. The Angels, I Adore Him. Is that right? Written by Jan Berry and Artie Cornfeld? That's so cool. And produced, of course, by the great legal team, Feldman, Goldstein, and Goddard. Peggy Santillia. Fantastic lead vocals there. And we'll be back with our Freak of the Week.
Are you always this amusing?
I do the best I can.
Why don't you find me amusing?
Because you're 80% water.
The world's best variety.
Expect it here.
VOA Music Mix.
Like any great sci-fi western spy series, the villains in Wild Wild West had to be cool. It's close, but the second coolest was the flamboyantly fiendish magician Count Carlos Mario Vincenzo Robespierre Manzeppi, played and overplayed by the wonderful Victor Buono, and yes, that is Richard Pryor as one of his henchmen. Well, we also got Burgess Meredith doing double duty as bad guys between Wild West and Batman. Robert Duvall, Boris Karloff, Ricardo Montalban, of course, Sammy Davis Jr., and Agnes Moorehead, who actually won an Emmy as Emma the Vicious Valentine. But everybody's favorite bad guy was Dr. Miguelito Quixote Lovelace, the once idealistic and now megalomaniacal, homicidal genius dwarf, played by our freak of the week, Michael Dunn. Writer John Newbel and producer Fred Freeberger, yes, you've seen his name in Star Trek credits, came across Michael's photograph as part of a nightclub singing act he had with a, you know, normal-sized type tall-ish woman named Phoebe Doran. Creator Michael Garrison went to the club, found him backstage, and signed him up for the show. And writer John Newbel wrote in his singing partner so they could sing together on the show, which they do. And then they added another member to the Loveless Posse, the gigantic 7-foot-something Richard Kiel. Yes, the future Jaws. As Miguelito's bodyguard, Voltaire. Dr. Loveless was not only eloquent in his evil explanations of his about-to-be dastardly deeds, he had a rationalization for his righteous indignation. It seems his family had owned most of Southern California, and America had stolen it from them, and now he was getting even. In his 10 appearances in the 104 episodes, he would invent nuclear-sized explosives, shrink Jim West down to Barbie doll size, put Jim West into a painting, invent a flying machine, invent a self-powered carriage, a device to transmit voices over great distances, and invent LSD to be delivered to the national water supply by ducks. He was one of the coolest bad guys ever. Our freak of the week, Michael Dunn.
Time. This little invention of mine may seem like a fairy tale to you, but with this I can project and receive voices and music through the air. Just think of the pleasure and enlightenment this can bring to countless people. And this. To anyone else, this would seem only like mold, bread mold. But this is a medicine so potent that with it one can begin to conquer all illness, Mr. West. And over there, a machine that one day will travel over roads by its own power. And there, a machine that will fly through the air. All these things I built for a better world, Mr. West. And you wanted to stop all this by trying to go to the police. I just can't believe it.